Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra, and you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. We are a show to encourage couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage to cling to Christ, that He's enough, that He's sufficient, that He's there for you. And we've gone on to expand to talk about foster care, adoption, fertility treatments, a variety of different topics related to how you build your family. Yeah. But today we are back talking about a different topic. You want to reintroduce our guest?
Yes. So if you listened last week or to the last episode, it was about tough things, sex trafficking. And so I do encourage you, if you have littles around, to pause this and come back to it later. But don't forget to come back because it is such important information that we are learning today. And as of this recording, it's January, and it is Sanctity of Human Life Month at the time of this airing. It will not be January anymore, but life is always sacred. And Sanctity of Human Life Month is definitely, we celebrate those babies that we know that are so valuable and so important. But the people that we're talking about involved in sex trafficking, they are just as important. And so we wanted to bring awareness to this because we don't feel like the church is talking about it as much as what it needs to. And so,
and we mentioned last week that, you know, a lot of times we talk about foster care, and a lot of people that listen to our show are interested in fostering.
Yep.
And so many kids in the foster system are high risk, highly targeted for sex trafficking. Yep. So we feel like our listeners need to have this information.
Yeah. And the little boy that we, he was our third placement. He in Tupelo, Mississippi, was when they found him, his mom was making a video at one of our pay by the hour motels. People, we probably pass it every single day just about. And that is, from what I know, he was not involved in the videos, but his mom was. And so that is when my eyes first got opened to, like, okay, this is not just like in movies. This is not like in the big, huge cities of America. It is right here in small town Tupelo. So we have Colleen Fabling. If you will, just reintroduce yourself a little bit and tell us what you do for 8 Days of Hope, and then we'll get into the rest of the conversation.
Yeah, so my name is Colleen Fabling. I've been a volunteer with 8 Days of Hope for 13 years. Mm-hmm. And in 2023, I came on as one of the Safe House Ministry employees, and now I'm the Safe House Ministry Director for 8 Days of Hope. Mm-hmm. So I have the privilege of helping to raise awareness and educate the church and the people of God about what we can do to be advocates for those that are being trafficked every day, every minute. And it's absolutely heartbreaking, and it's really important that we open our eyes. We are going to want to be tempted to say that's too terrible, but we can't. And I think all of us have little people in our lives that we would do anything for. And that's so it's important for us to remember that every child, every vulnerable adult, person that we come in contact with is a child of God and is worth fighting for. And so we're going to learn, and then we're going to ask the Holy Spirit how we're supposed to respond.
I love that. Yeah. So last episode, we had talked about all the money involved in sex trafficking and stuff. If you don't mind, go ahead and retell that, just because of the staggering number that it is. And then you have some like terms and stuff that we might, not that we might need to know, we do need to know about to be able to talk about this. Because I feel like it almost needs to be a daily conversation because of it happening. You mentioned every minute, every single minute this is going on.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, do you mind telling us about that number again?
Yeah. So it's estimated that $236 billion a year are generated in this industry, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah, I can't wrap my mind around that.
No, it's, yeah, I don't think any of us really think in the billions that much, but it makes sense, unfortunately, because in drug trafficking, if you think about it, a drug can be sold only once because then it's used. But traffickers that are literally using human beings, they can use them over and over and over again as long as they're alive. So a trafficking victim can be sold 5 to 6 times a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, which is around 2,000 sex acts a year that they're required to perform. And their quota average on a day is $2,000. Mm-hmm. And so just from one victim, a trafficker can make $730,000 a year.
Just from one
victim. Just from one victim.
And most of the time, these traffickers don't just have one victim that they're responsible for.
No.
Why do you think it is that so many Christians are blind to this topic and we haven't stopped sex trafficking yet?
I think because we don't want to believe it's happening. We it's too terrible. I mean, every time I am in this information, and I'm in it every day, there's a pit in my stomach. I'm thinking about, you know, last episode we talked about vulnerabilities. I think about, oh my goodness, there's vulnerabilities in my life and in my friends' lives. And I mean, we're human beings that live in a fallen world. There's vulnerabilities everywhere. And I, every day, recognize it could have been me. Mm-hmm. It could have been me. There's been seasons of my life where my home felt unstable, or there was financial hardship, or there was a situation going on that didn't involve me that took so much of my family's attention, and I was vulnerable and needed, you know, adult, you know, mentorship or whatever. Right. If that went to the wrong person, if that opportunity opened up to the wrong person, I could have easily been a victim of trafficking. And
that's so simple, you know?
It is so simple.
Yeah, because that person that you're saying, you know, looks for those vulnerabilities, that's kind of all they have to offer. Mm-hmm. Like, you just said, a mentorship, like a, I'll be there for you in case no one else isn't, you know? And that's how these people get involved.
What if the church stepped up and said, we'll love you, we'll build relationships, we'll help. Speaking of the church, you have some amazing literature that's available to people to help be educated on this. In that, I read some statistics talking about the link of pornography and how the church pornography has completely infiltrated the world of Christian men. You had one stat that said that 50% of pastors struggle with pornography.
Yeah.
What exactly is the tie between pornography and sex trafficking?
Okay, this is really difficult to talk about, and I'm going to be careful, but this is, in the last episode I talked about how we need to be careful talking about abortions. I want to be careful talking about this, but I'm going to say it. We have to understand that pornography is one thing that fuels the industry. It fuels the demand. So sex trafficking is about supply and demand.
If there wasn't a demand, then
if people didn't want to buy sex and pornography, we wouldn't need to have vulnerable people that were being abused. Okay? So, you know, we talk about buyers and Johns, or people who, you know, want to set up a date where they can go and do whatever their fantasy is or whatever they want. If you are someone who struggles with pornography, you need to understand that you're part of that cycle.
The problem, yeah.
And I actually have had someone say to me, well, you know, I do struggle with pornography, but it's not that rough stuff. You know, I'm sorry, but just saying it that way, it's not that rough stuff that you're talking about. And, you know, I have heard testimony from a survivor say, people don't understand. Like, I'm the best actress there is out there because I am being forced to do this. And I can make it look like I want to be there. But there's all kinds of things.
Abuse
that's in manipulation that's causing her to be in a position where she's forced to create this pornography that's being consumed. And it's, there's numbers from in the church. Baptist News did a study. 70% of youth pastors report that they've had at least one teen come to them needing help with pornography in the last 12 months. Okay.
And that's how many that aren't coming to that. Right. You know, that's the one that was willing to be vulnerable.
68% of church-going men and 50% of pastors view porn on a regular basis. wow. And goodness. Not wow shame. Wow. Right. We have to be able to say, we have to be in community where we can say, I need help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have to be able to, because if we, it's just like what I said about abortion. If you're saying abortion's terrible, I can't believe anyone would do that. Is anyone going to come to you and say, right. That's been my story. Mm-hmm. And I want to be in Christian community in a healthy way. I want to live in the freedom of the gospel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are they going to come? And so if we say, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I can't believe you consume porn. And I want to say it's not just men.
Right.
Females struggle with porn as well. Mm-hmm. And we talk about a lot of, you know, male stats. But we have to say you're not too far gone. You're not below redemption.
Right.
You're not too far gone. If we know anything about the gospel and what Jesus has done for us is that his righteousness mm-hmm. covers us. And we could be, I heard a story this year of a trafficker who is now, you know, wanting to help fund the freedom of those who have been trafficked because wow. his life was transformed. He went from selling.
He was a trafficker.
Oh,
my goodness.
And he went from that life being redeemed by Christ and now wants to be a part of the solution.
Wow.
In an incredible way.
And it sounds awful. Like, I wouldn't have even thought that. Mm-hmm. And I know Jesus can and saves anyone who wants. Yeah. But I haven't thought about, like, oh, if we could get the traffickers to come to know the Lord. My head goes to just, like, get the people out.
Yeah.
But if we don't have anyone, if we could lower the numbers of people being willing to mm-hmm. be the trafficker, then that would help.
Yeah.
So the church stepping up and caring about people, stopping pornography and mm-hmm. dealing with it in a way, and then also educating people. If you guys are just listening and tuning in, we have Colleen from 8 Days of Hope. We're talking about the horrific world of human trafficking, specifically sex trafficking. In the educating department, you have some resources that you mm-hmm. wanted to share with us.
Yes.
That recently came out that every church can have.
Yes, absolutely. So on our website, if you go to 8daysofhope.com and search Safe House under what we do or who we are, there's resources on there. One of them is a human trafficking awareness guide. And mm-hmm. if you reach out to us through the website or you can email safehouse@8daysofhope.com, we will mail you as many as you want. If you want 1,000 or 5,000 copies, 200, it doesn't matter. It's a resource that we've created to help educate the church, and we will keep printing them.
And you have a newsletter that's getting ready to start. Is that right?
Yes. In February of 2025, which is just a few weeks away from right now, we're going to be launching a quarterly newsletter to help educate. And the first one is just a human trafficking 101, the introduction. And I've written it to inform everyday people what's happening and how it's happening, and then we're going to provide some resources for you to learn more and get involved. But I cannot stress enough how important it is for the body of Christ to be willing to be uncomfortable and learn so that we can be a part of the solution and recognize that it could have easily been one of us and we can be a part of someone else not being manipulated into the cycle.
Wow.
Yeah, you said something that surprised me with the first episode about this, how so many more times that someone's involved is because they know the person. Mm-hmm. It's not like all of a sudden a stranger, you know, kidnapped someone. I feel like that's where my mind always goes to, is like someone was lurking and grabbed someone. And I know those stories, those awful stories exist, but you were saying that it's more of someone who might already be in your life. So I guess us as parents, us as the church, you kind of gave something to look for in the last episode. But, yeah, how do we get involved? What does it look like to get involved if we think something is going on?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I encouraged in the last episode the open conversation with your kids, with your spouse, or the adults that you do life with in community, and making sure that you are willing to have those hard conversations. Mm-hmm. I think, I mean, in circles that I've been in, it's been one of those things where people are like, oh, human trafficking? Like, why would I want to talk about that at coffee or at dinner? Mm-hmm. But being somebody who does become an advocate and raise awareness is really going to help set the tone for your community. And, you know, there's conversations with your kids, mm-hmm. you know, them understanding it's what is okay and what isn't okay. I mean, sometimes it's an uncle, sometimes it's a stepfather. That's not something that we want to think about. But okay. If our kids know age appropriate, you know, we're going to talk to them age appropriate ways of what's okay and what's not, and that there are people that will want to say, don't tell your mom, this is a secret, mm-hmm. or this is going to be our little secret. You know, you can tell your kids, there's no secrets from mommy and daddy.
Right.
And if someone says that to you, you come to me right away, you know. It gives me goosebumps to think that something that's so simple can keep your child from being in a situation where, you know, if their uncle says to them, this will be our little secret, you know, whatever, they're not going to think anything of that unless there's been a previous conversation where, oh, secret, tell mom. Okay, I'm going to go to mom right now. It is so important. And it, honestly, I know that it's terrifying to think about these people being close to us. But opening up and giving our kids the words, you know, them knowing their body parts and knowing what's, you know, what's okay to share with others or to be touched or not. You know, I think a lot of times people are like, I don't want to teach my five-year-old what the actual word for that is. But if you don't, then there might be a situation where they can't tell you.
Right. They don't have the vocabulary to
helping them.
Because I have heard, like, legally, unless that body part is correctly mentioned, they legally can't do anything if that, you know, if the reporting doesn't actually have that body part in their reporting of, you know, an incident. I don't know if that's for sure true, but I remember feeling that way, like, why would you tell your four-year-old to call it this, you know, that body part? But then a friend said, you know, like, if anything were to ever happen, he, she needs to know the proper anatomy to say that. What are, you have some terms that we talked about in just our outline. What are the different terms for, I mean, we've talked about trafficking, like what exactly is that?
Yeah. So a common misconception is that human trafficking is always sex trafficking. And so I'm going to define human trafficking first, and then we'll go. ADA's Hope builds facilities for those who've been sex trafficked specifically. But human trafficking is modern day slavery that involves forcing or coercing a person to provide labor or services or to engage in commercial sex acts. Sex trafficking specifically it doesn't involve the labor, but it's modern day slavery in which individuals are forced to perform commercial sex act through force, fraud, or coercion.
So sex trafficking is a subdivision of human trafficking.
Right. Okay. And so we talk about, you know, human trafficking as a whole a lot, but we are actually going to be launching that newsletter. I'm not sure if we mentioned it specifically, how to sign up for that. But if you go to the website, the first edition is going to come out on February 17th. And I am so excited for that to be in inboxes of as many people as possible because, you know, these terms are going to be spelled out a little bit in more detail.
Okay.
Easy to explain and, you know, easily shared. And some of these that I have taken, you know, a common definition and defined it from the lens of a survivor or a victim, just kind of break it down and help it make more sense. And so I'm really, really excited for that to be a resource that's able to be used within the church.
What are some of the creative ways that you've seen people use their talents and skills to help people in this world?
Yeah.
So anybody that comes to mind doing unique things?
Well, to help. You know, one of the things that 8 Days of Hope has done since 2019 is, you know, build the facilities.
The actual physical construction.
Yes. And, you know, when you asked that question, I thought about a really sweet moment that I had when I first got involved as a staff member, but I had been involved in building facilities. I went to a symposium where I got to hear survivors' testimonies in real time, which was absolutely incredible. And this one girl was sharing her story, and I listened for 2 hours, and I was absolutely, like, stunned, and I'm getting to something creative. I had been involved in construction ministry for many years at that point, 12 and a half years or so at that point, and I had been one of the members of the team that had gone and helped build. and I went to do flooring. Hmm. So all I did was, you know, I was a skilled trades veteran. I was 18 years old. I'd been through a background check. I had, you know, served with 8 Days of Hope for many years. And I, you know, went to be a part of this build that we were doing at actually our local safe house here in Tupelo, Mississippi, called The Garden.
Okay.
And I laid flooring for 2 weeks. And 4 years later, I'm listening to this symposium and this survivor giver story. And, you know, 2 hours in, I have heard horrific details. I'm absolutely blown away by this girl who's just a few years younger than me and what she's gone through. And she said, in the middle of the night, somebody brought me from the airport and I walked into The Garden. And I had no idea that she was a survivor that had gone through The Garden. And I realized
that gives me chills.
What an incredible impact you can make if you can lay flooring for the glory of God to build a safe house. And you don't have to know how to frame or roof or, you know, whatever it is. You know, you don't have to have all of the pieces. You can be a part of the body that is the hands and feet. And so that is something that we literally get to offer skilled tradesmen and women that are believers and want to be a part of the solution. We get to offer opportunities multiple times a year for you to come and serve for 7 or 14 days, you know, whatever you are able to offer to build walls or paint or lay flooring or
that's what I was gonna say. Like, sometimes even the word skilled, like, I can think like, well, I'm not skilled in even painting. But if you know how to paint, if you know how to roll paint on the wall, you can do that. And is it still like, I know when I've helped with 8 Days of Hope, we still needed people to fix lunch and to, you know, do those kind of things. Is that a way to serve if you feel like you, well, I can't do paint, I can't do flooring, you know, is that still a way to be involved?
So those, the number of volunteers that we take for Safe House projects specifically in those areas are smaller, but there's still opportunities there. But
but for the other destructions that happen, I think that's more of a
okay.
Now, I will say, if you're not skilled in a trade, don't let that limit you from asking God how you can be a part. Because I know the local garden, when they launched, that they were asking, is there anyone who wants to get involved in these women's life to come teach editing or sewing? Or, like, you know, a lot of places have, like, life skills that they want to help equip them with. That if you were willing to regularly commit, and the thing is, you have to be willing to form relationship, and it's not a one and then you have to be dependable. And so many organizations that are trying to find volunteers have that trouble. And there's that vulnerability of they don't want to be connected with people of their old life. So there's the problem of you have to be vetted and get into the right niche and community for that. But, you know, I have a friend who wanted to raise awareness for sex trafficking, and she was a ballerina. Beautiful dancer. She choreographed and got a ballet company to perform an entire ballet about human sex trafficking. And the admission went to all of the different resources.
I would love to see that.
I can connect you.
I danced for a long time, so that just sounds like such a beautiful and creative way to say, let's stand in the gap.
But God will not, you know, I think of Isaiah, and I think it's chapter 6, where he says, you know, who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here I am, Lord, send me. And if you just say, here I am, Lord, send me, like, it'll be amazing how things that are already inside you are needed in the kingdom of God, and how he will use them in powerful ways if you're just willing to be used, laying flooring.
And I want to say, you know, this is a terrible topic. We don't necessarily want to talk about it on Tuesdays and Thursdays and, you know, Sunday mornings. But I have to tell you that at the other, on the other side of it, the restored lives of these women and children is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I didn't expect to have relationship with survivors in my role, but that has been a sweet, sweet gift that the Lord's allowed. And I will say, I've never been more proud to be a believer. Or never been more impressed by the disciple makers than women who have been trafficked. And I've watched them minister to others, pray for their sisters, pray for people that have never experienced what they've experienced, but they know the power of the Holy Spirit to set them free and transform them into some completely new creation. Everything that we see in Scripture about new life and what the Lord can do for us, they believe it to the nth degree because they've walked through it. And they've literally experienced transformation. So there is so much hope. And these women are some of the most amazing heroes that I have ever had the privilege of being in community with.
Wow.
Well, we're almost out of time, but real quick, how can they connect with you, with 8 Days of Hope? How can they donate, volunteer, all of it.
Yes. So go to 8daysofhope.com and there's all of the information there. You can reach out to me specifically at ColleenF@8daysofhope.com or safehouse@8daysofhope.com. I would love to answer any questions you have, share every resource that I have available, and help you get plugged in raising awareness and standing in the gap.
It's awesome. Colleen, thank you so much for being here today. Really. I mean, and I know this does still seem like a different type of topic for us to have on the show, but we love the Lord. And so
we love people, his
that,
people.
That's right. And so, so needed. And, you know, we will probably end up doing this again because we do need to be a part. Thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart, and we'll see you back next week.